Poor Dasarath was in extreme agony, pulled by natural affection on one side and by the moral obligation to fulfill a pledge on the other. He had fondly hoped that Kaikeyi would relent and that somehow the conflict of duties would be resolved, but now he saw that this was not to be. But he had still one faint hope and thought, Ram is in no way bound by my promises and pledges. Strong as he is in people's love and in his peerless prowess, he may disregard my promise and stand on his own rights. But I cannot conceive his doing so, for my slightest wish has always been sacred to him. Yet, if by some chance he did so, it would save the situation. In the confusion and anguish of his heart, the old king consoled himself with such false hopes, forgetting that Ram would never think of disregarding his father's promise and that filial obedience was a fundamental rule of his life. But the false hopes did not persist long. He felt that his death was near. In this agonizing conflict of duties, death would be a relief and save him from the disruption and sorrows to come. As death drew near, his mind recalled past events. He remembered a great sin committed by him in youth. He felt that he was now reaping what he had then sowed and thought, I killed the sage's son and brought grief to his aged parents. How could this sin be wiped off except by my suffering the anguish of losing a dear son? Thus Dasarath resigned himself to his fate as a just retribution for the wrong he had once done. He concluded that he had no alternative but to fulfill his word to his cruel wife and left the ordering of things entirely to Kaikeyi. Day dawned. The hour fixed for the coronation was approaching. The procession of Vasishtha and his disciples, carrying the golden vessels containing the waters of holy rivers, was coming towards the palace. The great street was decorated and was crowded with eager men and women. They rejoiced to see Vasishtha and his disciples march to the palace with the holy waters and the paraphernalia of installation. As they saw the honey, curds, clarified butter, fried rice, sacred grass, flowers, maidens, elephants, horses, and chariots, the white umbrella, the bull, the horse, and the tiger skin seat moving to the accompaniment of music from many instruments, the people made loud and jubilant acclamations which filled the air. Vasishtha, approaching the palace gate, saw Sumantra and said to him, Please go in at once and inform the king that the people are waiting and all preparations are complete. Sumantra approached the king's bedchamber, and chanting the morning hymn, conveyed Vasishtha's message. O king, he said, arise from slumber to the hymn of your charioteer, as the king of the gods does to Matali's waking songs. May all the gods be gracious unto you. The elders, generals, and chief citizens are waiting for your presence. The goddess of night has withdrawn. The day's work awaits your ordering. O king of kings, be pleased to rise. Holy Vasishtha and his men are waiting. At that moment, the king was speechless with agony, but Kaikeyi boldly answered for him and told Sumantra, The king spent the night talking of Ram's coronation and had no sleep, so now he is in a slumber. Go at once and bring Ram. Thus the clever woman sent Sumantra to fetch Ram to convey the king's command. She knew that Dasarath had agreed, but had not the strength to do what had to be done. Hence Kaikeyi resolved that she herself would do what needed to be done. Sumantra went to Ram's palace. Sita and Ram were getting ready for the coronation. Then Sumantra gave to Ram the message that the king and queen Kaikeyi wanted his presence. Ram hastened to obey. The unexpected delay and these strange goings and comings roused doubts, but no one dared to talk of them. The men concerned hoped that somehow things would turn out right and went on with their allotted work. The streets were brightly decorated. The great hour was approaching, as in the queen's chamber, strange and sinister events were developing. Why this long delay, the people wondered. Perhaps the preliminary rites are more elaborate than we had thought. The crowds in the street grew bigger and bigger and more impatient. Sumantra accompanied Ram to Kaikeyi's palace, threading the way with difficulty through the crowd. Ram entered the queen's apartment. As he stepped over the threshold, he started as if he had set his foot upon a snake, for he saw with awestruck amazement his father lying on the bare floor in anguish. The king evidently had been struck down with some great sorrow. His face was like a blossom wilted in the sun. He touched his father's feet and paid the same filial worship to Kaikeyi. Dasarath uttered in a low voice the name of Ram and stopped. He could speak no more. He could not look straight into the face of Ram. Ram was perplexed and filled with apprehension at the sight of his father lying there, unable to speak, in the grip of some great agony. What it could be, Ram could not even guess. He turned to Kaikeyi and said, "Mother, this is indeed strange. No matter how angry he was, my father would speak sweetly to me. Have I, without knowing it, offended him in any matter? Has some sudden sickness struck him down? Has someone spoken rudely to him? Do tell me what has happened. I can bear the suspense no longer." Bold Kaikeyi seized the chance and said, "The king is angry with no one. There is nothing wrong with his health, but there is something in his mind which he is afraid to tell you. That is all. He is afraid to say it to you, lest you should feel hurt. That is why he is silent. Once upon a time, pleased with me, he offered, and I accepted, the gift of 2 boons. Now, like an uncultured person, the king regrets he did so. Is this worthy of him? Is it not unbecoming of a king to pledge his word and then regret it? You have the power to fulfill his promise, but he fears even to tell you of it, and is thinking of violating it. Would it be right if you assure him that he need not be anxious about your attitude, and that he should keep his word at all costs? You will give him the needed strength to behave righteously. You must give him the help he needs. Now, I shall tell you what it is, but only after you promise me that you will help the king to fulfill his pledge." Ram, saddened at the thought that he should in any way be the occasion of distress to his father, said to Kaikeyi, "Mother, am I indeed the cause of all this trouble? I do not deserve that you should have any doubts about me. If my father asks me to jump into the fire, I shall not hesitate to do it. If he asks me to drink poison, I shall drink it without hesitation. You know this. You know well enough that at his bidding I would drown myself in the sea. Mother, I give you my solemn promise that I shall fulfill the king's promise to you, and I never break my word." When Ram uttered these words, Kaikeyi rejoiced, for she knew she had conquered. The king, for his part, was in despair, seeing that all escape was now barred. Thereupon, the pitiless Kaikeyi uttered these terrible words, "Ram, Your words are worthy of you. What higher duty has a son than helping fulfillment of the word his father has given? Now I shall let you know your father's promise to me. When in the battle with Shambhara, your father was wounded, I rescued and revived him. Your father, in gratitude for having been rescued by me when grievously wounded, gave me two boons to be claimed and specified when I chose. I have claimed and specified them now. They are that Bharat should be anointed regent king, and that you should be sent away this very day to the Dundak forest to remain in exile for 14 years. Now, you have sworn solemnly to carry out your pledged word. If you find right conduct as hard as your father did, that is another matter. Otherwise, listen to what I say. It is for you now to relinquish the installation and to go out into exile with matted hair and hermit dress, leaving the preparations presently ready to serve for Bharat's installation. When she uttered these cruel words, the king writhed in agony. But Ram heard her undisturbed. Kaikeyi beheld a miracle. There was not the slightest sign of disappointment or sorrow in Ram's face. Smiling, the prince said, "Is that all, mother? Surely the king's promise must be fulfilled. My hair shall be twisted, I shall wear the bark, and I shall go this very day to the forest." Kaikeyi spoke prophetic words when she said Ram's dutifulness would bring him glory undying. That glory will continue as long as the Himalaya mountains stand and the waters of the Ganges flow and the ocean waves beat on the solid earth. Ram said to Kaikeyi in unperturbed tones, "I am not in the least annoyed. Would I not be happy to give anything to Bharat? Even if no one asked me, I would cheerfully give him my all. And how can I hold back a moment when my father commands it? But what pains me a little is that father should have entertained any doubt about my willingness. Why should he have hesitated to tell me what he wanted and left it to you to say it to me? Am I not his son, bound to do his behest? What glory or what joy can I look for except to make good his word? How did I deserve it that my father should avert his face from me and refrain from speaking loving words to me? My grievance, if at all, is that he did not send for me straight and give me his command. I shall go to the forest this very day with no regret, so send swift messengers at once to bring Bharat home." The prince's face glowed like a sacrificial fire, bursting into flame as the ghee is poured into it. Kaikeyi felt glad at her apparent success. Like a captive elephant hemmed in on all sides, Dasarath lay in anguish. With needless harshness, Kaikeyi hurried Ram, saying, "Do not wait for the king to speak and prolong the affair." At this Ram said, "Mother, you have not, it seems, known me. I value no pleasure higher than to honor my father's pledge. Let Bharat carry the burden of kingship and look after our aged father. It will indeed give me the greatest joy." Dasarath, silent till now, though listening intently, moaned aloud. Ram touched his feet as well as Kaikeyi's and hurried out of the chamber. Lakshman had been standing outside. He knew what had happened, and with eyes red with anger, he followed Ram. On the way, Ram saw the vessels holding the consecrated water for the coronation. He walked round them in worship. With calm majesty, he left behind the white umbrella and other royal insignia, and advised the crowds to disperse. The prince, in whom desire had been vanquished, went to the house of Queen Kausalya to give her the news and take her blessings before departing for the forest.